This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 15th of May, 1962. The title of this lecture is New Training Sections. This tape is 66 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
All right, here we are. 15 May, AD 12, St. Hill, special briefing, of course. And we got a lot of territory to cover. I had a week off. Did any of you see the quotes around the off?
Yes.
I ought to take a week off one of these days. All right. A new thing has happened after a year of teaching the special briefing course at St. Hill. The anniversary, you know, passed a couple of weeks ago. We always celebrate anniversaries. We haven't got our patent serve it up in a hurry copper kitchen out here going so that we can serve up a party real fast. So I had to change everything around to celebrate it. And this is quite interesting as an occasion because it lays down a brand new pattern for all training courses in Scientology. And this course is laid down in the academies. Now, as is usual, when you get a course overlap of this type, you get advanced material being taught at a fundamental level. Then it is up to advanced students to learn the fundamentals. And there's about where you fit right now. Oh, it doesn't do very much. It just makes it necessary for you to take a whole HPA course while you're here. But you're doing that anyway, so what's the difference? Frankly, no course materials have been altered. Course materials are the same as before. But a whole new section has been added, and a tremendous number of checkpoints have been added to the course. And this is the advent of the practical section. Now, as we have learned, people can confront doingness. They can confront doing this. When you kick them in the back of the head, hard, with what glee will people confront thought? It's marvelous, you know. It's like they go around and there's a thought and they'll confront that, and there's a theory and they'll confront that, and there's another thought and they'll confront that. And they're happy as clams and they just go around confronting thoughts. Now, don't mistake it. I'm not running down Mike's section here. Data is very important, but there is something a little harder to confront than data, and that is its application in doingness. And right away, with the advent of the practical section, it ran fine the first day. You see, it's a little bit harder to confront the doingness of it all. You can get somebody to pass a bulletin that says, at the given instant when the PC screams, I do not want to be audited by you, you promptly say to the PC, shut up, you see, or whatever the bulletin says, you see. And you get the fellow in session, you see, you got the bulletin down pat. I mean, Mike gave you the okay on it and everything, and you got that all set, see, that was easy. Okay? You sit down in session, and the PC rears back, and says, I don't want to be audited by you. And you say, hey, that's that subtle difference. There's a lot. It's a very important difference, too. And sure enough, we put in a whole practical section to take care of this difference. It's the third pin of training. It's always been there, more or less. You had the COM course, you've had upper indoc courses, you've had various doingness activities. But no, this puts it in as a parallel section to actual auditing with a bunch of new TRs and a lot of other things. But this doingness, people will confront thinkingness before they will confront doingness, is quite marvelous. Because the first day, the practical section ran beautifully. See, there were quite a few people being checked out, and everybody was happy about it and so forth. And I came down today in the afternoon, and there were four students with two instructors. In other words, not only will people do this, but the course started to dramatize it. Here were 10 people in here studying theory with great avidity, and only four of them had moved over into the practical section to brush up on their TRs and things. That's quite marvelous. Because let me tell you, there's not a single one of you here could pass the practical section. And every one of you got to go all the way through it. I know somebody who was just about ready to leave. You see? You had it. See? But anyhow, and here were four students. Four students were sitting there getting checked out on body motions to the E-meter and so forth. And here were 10 sitting in here, listening to tapes happily, and reading buttons happily, and the practical room was practically empty. Now, this can go too far, and you can get to a point where you won't do any theory. That's not what we want. We want a decent balance in these things. But right now, at this particular stage of the game, those of you who can do practical, of course, would check out on it rapidly. See? And those of you who can't, certainly better learn it. Now, here's the background music back of this new course design. You yourself could learn a great deal about the constitution of the human mind and reaction of PCs if your technical application of procedure was perfect. If your procedure was perfect, you would never get any of these wild varieties which you think sometimes exist in the mind. They don't exist in the mind. They exist in your procedure. You see? So a lot of your understanding of the mind is blurred for lack of an absolutely perfect application of Scientology to the PC. And you'll see these things just whir off, just whiz, 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 whiz. And you'll see all the wheels and where they turn and so forth, you see. Because at no time is the PC being distracted by any oddball activity on the part of the auditor. See, at no time. But let's look at this now. Let's take an auditor. And every time the PC, well, the rule is that when confronted with the unusual, do the usual. And that is one of these nice, large, solid, stable data that you can hang on to that'll get you over more falls and slumps and crashes than you ever heard of. Now, you see, the PC has a different case than any other case in the world. We admit this, we agree with this completely. Except today, there's not one iota of difference. If at the PC, he thinks he's got a different case than everybody else in the whole world. Well, he hasn't. Not in terms of basic fundamentals. His case runs exactly on the same fundamentals as everybody else's case. He's a Thetan, he's here, so all the fundamentals must be the same, or he wouldn't be that knuckleheaded. You get the idea? He's right here in this universe. See? He's here in this universe, so he arrived on the same course as all of his cohorts, buddies, and feller Thetans. So it's obvious that he must be running on the same fundamentals. Everybody thinks they have a very unusual case. So they sit down and give you a sales talk of unusuality. And I don't care what you expect from a PC, sooner or later, the PC is going to sell you the unusuality of it all. In other words, you look on the PC as a salesman of differences. The PC will always come up with the unusual. It's always different. It's always unusual. He's always going to do something else. Well, that's his privilege.
non-duplication might be said to be the common denominator of his old case. So why shouldn't he come up with unusuals? Every time he starts dramatizing, he comes up with something different, doesn't he? He comes up with a non-duplicate of the human race. Well, that's what his case is, the series of non-duplicates. So he's sitting there, and of course he's non-duplicating. What else can he do with the bank he's got? And God help the auditor if he ever does anything but the usual. The second the auditor buys the unusualness, the auditor teams up with the PC's reactive bank, and the reactive bank of the PC and the auditor then process the Thetan called the PC. After that, there's nothing else happens. We've got a reactive bank busily processing the PC along with some help from the auditor. Happens to be the last checkpoint here on ACO Policy Letter 3, May 1962, Practical Auditing Skills. There's a long check sheet here, and on the last of it, it says, holding constant against adversity. Well, adversity is just being solely unusual, and holding up against it is just doing the usual. I mean, it's as simple as that. It's terribly simple once you get the grasp of it. But as long as everything looks all different to you, too, you're going to get the wildest ideas of the human mind you ever heard of if your auditing procedure is wild. If your application of auditing to the PC is wild, inconstant, variable, wobbly, then you're going to get the wildest ideas of what the human mind is all about. And you get a lot of help in getting these ideas, too. You sit down, and one day, while you're auditing this cop. And he's going yippity-yap, bop-bop, something of the sort, and the world really doesn't understand me. I am sweet and kind and good, and every time I shoot somebody, an innocent bystander or anything, people get down on me. And they're mean to me, and he's going on like this, you see. And the auditor says, you know, that the world really is being mean to this fellow, you know. Prep checking or something. And he says, well, who's been mean to you? And all of a sudden, the cop makes a terrific resurgence of case. That's not according to the rule book. How do you make all this resurgence suddenly? Graf does a jump. He loses his lumbosis and his pistolitis. Dreadful disease cops get. What happened? And you say, well, you know, you really had better run motivators on the PC. Because if you don't run motivators, why, look at there, I would have missed this cop. Of course, you don't notice that in 2 months he fell on his head and shot the chief of police. But that's beside the point. You totally misinterpreted what happened. See, you cued an aide with a situation. You didn't hold up against adversity, and you said, oh, you poor fellow. You mean to say these criminals groan, scream when they're being shot, and you just so that you just, and it affects your migraine. Well, you poor fellow. Now, what criminals have groaned and screamed at you? No, the only resurgence you got in the case is it's the first time anybody had ever gotten acknowledgement through to him. You see, and you got the same case resurgence that you'd get if you acknowledged anything or anybody. It's pretty hard to punch an acknowledgement home, but in this particular case, what he did was interpret sympathy or something like that as an acknowledgement. And he won in spite of the fact that you ran a motivator. But the motivator had nothing to do with it. And prep checking didn't have anything to do with it. You would have gotten the same effect if you'd been sitting in his office. See? So right away you say, well, is there something about this overt motivator sequence? You see, and you go astray, and so forth. Well, now look, if you really, really knew your auditing head on, this situation would have been something like, he would have said, well, this guy keeps on going like this. He's probably never been acknowledged, you know. You'd say, well, gee whiz, all right. Well, doggone, all right. I'd go on and scream, all right. Good. Bothers you, huh? Good, all right. Yeah, I got that. Yeah, I got that. Somebody really ought to give you a hand. Now, let's see. Now, what have you done to a criminal? You see, and you would have gotten the effect of the acknowledgement followed by the effect of the pep check. You see how it could be misread. Now, there's a terribly broad example, rather nonsensical example. But who would do anything but vary their procedure if they didn't have a good, tight, standard thing called standard auditing? If they didn't know that existed, then who could ever blame them for varying their procedure? In other words, they're moving on both sides of a highway and they don't know it exists. They're driving in both ditches and out across the plains and herding the ponies up in the hills, you see, and they don't know there's a highway there. Well, instead of blaming auditors, I should say that it's only recently that I finally corralled all the factors that make up an auditing session. I've been watching auditors for a year. And I know now that, thanks to the data, the final data that came home on this was missed withholds. And I know now that for every action of the PC, or everything a PC can do, no matter how unusual, there is a standard auditing response. That handles it. Now, you see, you couldn't call it a standard response unless it actually handled it. But if it actually handles it, now you can call it a standard response. You see, because Scientology is totally dedicated to being workable. I know this is not popular in some parts of the world. You'd never get a job in the U.S. State Department with that type of a motto. You know, be effective. You never would. And Scientology is peculiar that way. Our index rule is, does it work? Not is it true, but does it work? Oddly enough, it has to be true in order to work, but that's beside the point. Now, if these auditing responses work, and work in all cases, then I have a right to lay them down and say this is what they are. You see? Only because they work. And then say, well, you go ahead and learn them. You learn these responses because they'll work for you. See, I know they'll work for you. And then I've got a right to bite Carino's head off and so forth in charge of practical section if he doesn't make the thing work, don't you see? Yeah, because there is something there. Now, one of the favorite methods of teaching in universities on this planet is teaching against the hidden standard. You walk into class, and there's students there, and there's somebody lecturing. And they give examinations. And you can even get expelled from the college for flunking the course, don't you see? And the only thing they've overlooked is the fact that there's no course material. You know, it's just growing in universities today. Most of you have been out of universities too long to appreciate the fact. But there's more and more courses taught in universities which have a hidden course. It's a hidden subject. And the student is there, and he's very wise, and the professor's very wise, and there's a whole bunch of double talk, you know. You ever meet a friend, and there was somebody else present, and you met this old buddy of yours, and you started double talking with this old buddy, and the friend had to stand there, and he thought you were both saying something to each other. You know, of course you weren't. Well, the student is an innocent bystander to this double talk, and he sees the professor, and he sees students, and everybody is doing well, so he... Because there must be a subject here, you see. There must be one. And everybody's so sincere about it, you know. subject like art. You should read some of the late curriculums that have come out. Very, very interesting. Art appreciation. Music appreciation. Domestic relations. Can you imagine somebody daring to teach a course on domestic relations who had never even heard of a corner of a human mind? What a dog's breakfast that life must be afterwards if led off these principles. The textbook is invariably written by somebody who murdered his first 8 wives, you know? Something like that. And it's a hidden subject. And the world is getting used to having hidden subjects. And everybody's got his retrained response to the hidden subject. And a trained response to the hidden subject is you look alert, you're agreeable, you go along with it, you memorize everything you're told to memorize, you take your examinations, everything. But actually, it's just all a sort of an agreement, because really we know there's no subject there, you know, art appreciation. How the hell could you teach art appreciation? Yet they manage it. They manage it. I ran into somebody one time. You should have seen that girl's home. She had taken art appreciation at the University of Southern California, L.A. It was marvelous. The place was just full of books on the subject of art. Everywhere you looked, here they were propping up the bureau and bright maroon curtains, you see, and scarlet tablecloths with green pimentos on it. He sure had art appreciation. The person was wild. She would talk this subject called art appreciation. It was the wildest double talk you ever listened to in your life, you know. The rig of Flubitz all poopalobbed, you know. It obviously, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of students had been taking this course. Obviously, they were all in perfect agreement there must be a course there without anybody ever demonstrating the course. Well, do you see, actually, I'm being a little bit mean on the subject. Of course, you know, mathematics is an exact subject. But do you know there's a swindle called calculus that's been going on ever since Newton? I think he did it for an early issue of Punch. It's marvelous, you know. You go in there and professors are teaching it and students are figuring out things with it, and then you go up to a senior and say, how many times have you used calculus in your calculations of various things since you had calculus in your freshman year? I never have. Well, why don't you use calculus? Well, it's... Well, of course, you get education just becomes some fantastic, grim, practical joke. But most people confuse education totally with thinkingness. So they get into a habit pattern of two things. One, they can be in perfect agreement that there is a subject without ever coming near the subject. See, because that's an automaticity in school. You can go through school without ever understanding anything, give back the right answers, you're all set, you get out of school, on the other end, people let you live. I think that's the reward of graduating from school. You got an old school tie on, you get issued your rations. Now, that's combined with the fact that all of your earliest training is classroom-type training that is all based on data. Data, 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 data. The early days of engineering, it used to be a joke. Engineers that came out of school could not compare to engineers that were out practically functioning and operating in the field. It would take them 3 or 4 years to close that gap. Oddly enough, they closed the gap much more rapidly than the practical engineer. They closed it much more rapidly, but they still had a gap to close because they had everything on think, see? They hadn't done anything practical. Now engineers, in the last 30 years and so forth, they get things like testing machinery, and they get a little bit of doingness mixed up with the engineering school. You got chemistry labs and physics labs and things like that. It's coming in stronger and stronger, but it's nevertheless not really doingness. So we break up when we give doingness an equal part with theory. We tend to break up an automaticity on which everybody is sitting. And that's the idea that education is a confront of think. The education is a theoretical process. So in adventuring this new division of Scientology training, I know we may have a little difficulty without my postulating it. It's going to be hard to keep in, because it had only been in here 24 hours before it was out. You see? Now there's a parallel. Now when you stop and think that there are three sections, and one is the theory section, and the other's the practical section, and then there's an auditing section. We've got two-thirds doingness for one-third confronting thinkingness. That's heavy, isn't it? So you see, it'd be adventurous to make it 50-50. That'd be adventurous enough. But we haven't made it 50-50. We made it 66 and two-thirds, 33 and one-third. So skin it down to one-third of an investment of your time on theory and two-thirds of it on practical and auditing, and you should be able to get by. But that's about what it takes. That's about what it takes. So this is a very heavy emphasis that we have embarked upon here. Much heavier than you realize as you sit there right this minute. This is crush. I don't know, I have not counted up how many drills have to be compounded according to this May 3rd policy letter, how many actual drills. There are a lot of repetitive things on the E-meter that all come from one drill. But two drills. You got your model session, you've got various things of this character, and you've got your practical process. But it means quite a few new TRs. Quite a few new TRs. We get a TR for each one of these pieces of doing this. Now this is actually quite a technical achievement. You might not might not grasp a thing at first glimpse, but after your auditing one day up here 3 or 4 months from now, back home or something like that, and you're auditing somebody, and you suddenly look back on it and realize you haven't had any trouble with any PCs. You haven't had any trouble at all with any PCs. Nobody's ARC broke, and nobody's busted up, and some of the students you're teaching aren't that lucky. They open up their E-meter and stick their foot in it. And your reality on this will be shockingly great. Toward the end of your course, when the auditor across from you is auditing flawlessly, you all of a sudden recognize something fantastic is going on here. You see? It's a tremendous thing. When you yourself are delivering this, you all of a sudden find that you have terrific altitude with PC. Where the hell does altitude come from? Because you're not grunting or straining, you're not holding your mouth in some peculiar way. You haven't got your tongue out with any shape or anything, you know. There's no grunt, you know. You see, I've been sitting here, you just got through auditing for 5 hours, and you feel fresh as a daisy. What's going on? Well, only those things would only happen if it were true that for every action on the part of the PC, there is a proper response on the part of the auditor. And for every thing you want the PC to do, there's a proper causation, there's a proper way to cause it. And if you cause it properly and respond properly, and it's all very usual, and these things are well done by you, well understood, well grooved, you will get this other result. And the other result will be just, it looks very, very relaxed. It is very easy and a very satisfactory type of activity. Now, there's a lot of these odd bits, but they're countable. And if you look over this sheet of May the 3rd, perhaps 1962, one of the possibly your first reaction as an old-time auditor was what? Is that the totality of auditing skills? You might have had a surprise that there were that few things could be put on both sides of one piece of paper. There were that few things that made up the actuality of handling auditing. When you think it over, that's quite remarkable that on two sides of one piece of paper, you could write down everything that you did in terms of a coded system, of course, and that they'd only amount to two or three dozen. It's a very finite number. I bet a lot of people, at first early on with auditing, they think there must be thousands and thousands of responses. They just must be uncounted responses. You have to be so clever, you know, and they count on their cleverness. And they hope they can be clever enough to handle the PC. There's no cleverness in handling the PC. There's standardness in handling a PC. You start getting clever while you're handling a PC, and you'll be up the river quickly. No paddle either. it's remarkable that there are these few practical auditing skills. There are not many. Now, the way a student ought to move into this is on this basis. There are certain definite, stable data of theory. If you did not know these things, you wouldn't even know where you were going or why. And those are the fundamental bits of theory, the very fundamental bits. And they, of course, and now we are talking about the HCO policy letter of May 14th, issue 2, classes of auditors. And that there are a few bits which are inescapable. Theory. You really have to have those in order to proceed at all. And then there are certain practical actions which, if you can't do them, the PC is liable to wind up in a tight ball of yarn. And then there are certain auditing skills, that is to say, auditing, you know, just straight auditing the processes, which if you did them on a PC, you would find somewhat successful or unusual in some cases. And you can tie a bundle of these things together. You can tie a certain level of theory and a certain level of practical drills and a certain auditing activity. You can tie them up so they don't come into conflict and they tend to complement each other to some degree. Now, there'd be many ways of doing this, and the way which we have laid out here on May the 14th, 1962, may not be the best and most refined way to go about this. Any old D of T looking this over has probably said this should go there and that should go there, and if we just had the auditing section lag a bit behind the other two sections, everything would be much better, and yes, there's no doubt about it that this will stand a small amount of shifting. But it'll be mostly the shifting of what we do when, rather than the shifting of the whole doingness. You see, there'll be some juxtapositions and that sort of thing. You can expect those. But this thing is based on several things. And let me give you a very fast resume on which it is based. That if you took an auditor, and you were going to make an auditor, and you grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and ran op pro by dupe on him, and SCS, that's all you did, see? We didn't give him any other auditing. He didn't have a chance, you see? We ran some OPPRO by Dupe, and we ran some SCS, one kind and another. He get the idea that there was something to control. And you would knock out the two principal things which upset an auditor. OPPRO by Dupe, you know, was invented just for training. Didn't have any other purpose in the world. It isn't even a cousin to CCHs, although it's included in that in some of the lists given. Just invented for training. It's how long can you make him grind? How long can you endurance it until both the auditor of it and the PC of it find out that duplication won't kill them? And they eventually find out the hard way that duplication isn't going to kill them. And after that, and only after that, can you get this type of an action. Do birds fly, do birds fly, do birds fly. Actually, with no OPPRO by Dupe, you get something like this. You get tremendous, overwhelming necessity to say, do birds fly? Are our feather friends airborne? They won't duplicate an auditing man. And a DFT can go absolutely round the bend listening to this because it's so easy for him to do. He doesn't ever realize he ever had any trouble with that. That you listen to these birds, they know how to do it right, you change it. They just go on to obsessive change until you run most auditors on OPPRO by Dupe. One of the things which auditors to this day do very well is give a repetitive command. You can see somebody sitting in the session, why an auditor any day of the week? He's happy to sit there and give a repetitive command. Look around here and find something you can have. Thank you. Look around here and find something you can have. Thank you. Look around here and find something you can have. Thank you. Look around here. God, he'll go on for 5 hours. And do you know that before he actually studied auditing or anything like that, you know, he just would have gone, bzzz, at the idea of repeating that single phrase twice. So you forget how vital it is to have that one under your belt. Now, you understand these classes are laid out for Scientologists, not just for the HCO special briefing course. So naturally, we have to start in our auditing with what an auditor needs most. Now, it's all right to say, well, maybe we ought to start them with a straight wire, and maybe that's best, and they sit there. The fellow's probably already been in co-audit. He's probably done a little bit of this nonsense, you know. Well, let's just drive him into the wall. Let's do it the hard way. You're going to have trouble with this. Let's pick up what you're going to have the most trouble with at the beginning of the course. And just give it to him. As far as SCS is concerned, you do very much SCS, you'll wind up with no allergy to controlling or being controlled. You find out that runs out the badness of control. Most people you meet out on the street, you say, control, good or bad? They say, it's bad. You ask a motorist, he passes in the road, is control good or bad? Oh, it's bad. Scree, crash. The number of automobile accidents has nothing whatsoever to do with the highway department. The better highways they build, the more automobile accidents they have. It has to do with the feeling people have that control is very bad. Well, of course, they have been miscontrolled since birth in the society in which they find themselves, and they've been busily miscontrolling themselves. They get a hold of a piece of machinery, and you miscontrol of a piece of machinery, and you're a statistic. That's all there is to that. It's simple. Now, an auditor who will not control a PC has a hell of a time. Man, he just gets run over every day of the week. He comes out of the session, he's got tread marks all over him. PC says, well, I actually have an awful time with Windows. Let's run a process about Windows. And the auditor says, all right, look at a window. And PC says, well, I'm tired of that process. Actually, I object mostly those andirons over there. Hi. Look at the andiron. Never seems to get any place, you know. I think you'll agree with me out of your own experience, those are the two worst hurdles for an auditor to get over. Control and duplication. Long since it's been learned in training that those are the mean points. So, well, let's put them first. Now, That means that a student auditor in HCA courses and academies is actually going to be running out pro by dupe before they have a chance to do anything. See? That's a funny thing to be doing. Well, I don't know. You might as well crowd them. And if you've got an auditing section, there's somebody going to stand over them with a whip. You can crowd them into doing op pro by dupe. Stand there and say, come on, come on, give them another command. I know you're falling here. Give them another command. What is its weight? Yeah, you can bull them through it. And by the time an auditor, a beginning auditor, has had it and received it, why, something will have changed. Something will have changed. Now, the only reason that we would include it here and try to run anybody at all on op pro by dupe here is very many of you have never had it flattened. We refer to case repair of May 14th, HCOB. Maybe you've never had it flattened. I don't know how many 100 hours it takes to flatten it. I'm perfectly willing to set up an experiment. Now, along with that, assist. Now, I will say this, that's probably written backwards. It should be assist and op pro by dupe and SES. And how do you get somebody to do an assist when there's nobody hurt? I think a D of T could probably get over that problem. But I'll bet you there are very few HCA, HPA courses that teach very much about assist. But it's quite spectacular. I've had more people absolutely swear by Scientology and they never had any auditing but an assist. I remember a down at the heels, that's what you'd call a tennis bum. You know, a professional hanger on of country houses, gentleman type character, you know, he never has a penny in his pocket. Cynical, hard-boiled, everything. Nothing was true. Nothing existed anyplace. He one day thoughtfully closes his hand in the door. And he comes in, he's holding his hand up, you know, blood dripping. You know. And, I don't know what I'm going to do about it. I said, we'll go back and touch the door until... It doesn't hurt to touch the door. And he made no effort at all. He didn't particularly care whether this piece he went through the bottom of the earth or what happened. Oh, he said, I wouldn't do any good. I said, I'm not kidding you. I said, after all, I'm the man who knows the subject of Scientology, and that's Scientology. And you just go back and keep touching the door where you heard it. Oh, I couldn't do that. And I said, well, you're going to do it. Go on, I said, do it. So he walked back down the hall, and I could hear him back there, thud, 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 and he, thud, 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 thud. Ouch, he says, thud, thud. He came back in, he says, it's all right. He says, what happened? He says, that's Scientology? I said, that's right, that's Scientology. Give me a cigarette there. Guy was practically climbing the walls to have audit. You know? It didn't even give him an assist. That's the point. So it's a very good thing for somebody to know. And you can get a good reality on giving assists and receiving assists and so forth. Very peculiar things happen sometimes. Touch assists and so on. But look, that's all physical action, isn't it? That's sort of getting people's bodies used to bodies. Now, if we're going to cut out the upper indoc, which has been teaching people erroneously to do CCHs too ferociously, we certainly had better have body mauling here someplace, and where better to start than in the first unit? See, the first activity, let's body maul them. Assist, op pro by dupe, SCS. Let's get it off their chest right now. And there's another point about this, is those... are the least likely to goof up the PC if they're done wrong. nothing much going to happen if you do those things wrong, because they're self-correcting. Good up probi dupe corrects badly done up probi dupe. Good SCS corrects badly done SCS. Any kind of auditing will correct and assist. So what's the difference, see? So it's the most corrective kind of auditing because it's self-corrective auditing. Not all processes, you know, are self-corrective. N-gram running isn't self-corrective. You run the n-gram of running the n-gram and then run that wrong, and then you run the n-gram of running the n-gram, and then you run that wrong, and you run the n-gram of running the n-gram of running the n-gram, and PC by that time is so looped up he doesn't know whether he's gramming or imming. And the only thing that you can do about that time is start back and find something more fundamental and run out auditors and look what the complication you're in, see? Not so op probi dupe, SCS, or assist. You just do more of them and it corrects what you're doing, see? Self-corrective processes. So that gives us the auditing level. Now we're talking about auditing auditors. We're not talking about auditing the public. But anybody could be started that way. That's class 1A that we were talking about as an auditing section. We get class 1B, we get ARC straight wire done in model session and havingness. That also could be reversed. You could have the havingness first and then ARC straight wire. It wouldn't matter much which way you had them. But now you've got a sit-down type of process. And it's not going to ruin anybody excessively. Because ARC straight wire is actually not self-corrective, but havingness is. But why ARC straight wire? Well, it gives them an idea of doing the repetitive process verbally, having done repetitive duplication physically. But once more, it's not wasted auditing for the auditor. Do you know, every now and then, through a unit, somebody's suddenly going to turn sane that didn't know he was nuts. That process, ARC straight wire, still has that power. A few commands of the thing, and the fellow says, oh, it's fantastic. But it gives an auditor a reality on a bank. In general, it will give reality on a bank. Very few cases won't see something, contact something. They have to be pretty much of a black five. You see, to not get some reality on ARC straight wire, on the time track, the cyclic aspect of the time track, and so on. Well, it teaches them volumes about time tracks, doesn't it? But once again, the therapy value of it is every few cases you're going to get somebody who is really stark, staring mad. He's at least basically neurotic, all mixed up, messed up. And you run a little ARC straight wire and he comes out of it. That process still has tremendous horsepower. A little bit of it, so on. There is, by the way, just bringing up to date, there's a later ARC straight wire, which is positive negative. I really needn't say any more about it. You just run the positive negative versions of each one. Of course, you can feel the bank just coming apart. Communicate, not communicate, real, unreal, affinity. No affinity. You get all the seamier side of life tied up in it. And these fellows that every time you try to run a pleasure moment on them, they give you a moment of agony. Can't run ARC straight wire very long without being in the middle of agony. Well, this keeps that from happening. All right, now your next step up the line of processing, we would be into prep checking and CCHs. This prep checking CCHs, done preferably by form. The old Form 3 and Form 6A. And supposing you'd done those things, the first one's kind of badly, the first level, operable by dupe and SCS, and says, kind of badly, and the next one you've done is a little smoother, kind of bad. By the time you got that up, and had these people so they could audit, and they started auditing this, they would be coping with something. You would start to get actual good case advances. That would be a fairly logical progress for a case. In actuality, if you knew all this and you're just auditing the public, of course, you just go into prep checking from scratch. But you can mess up people like fire drill with bad prep checking. So it isn't, of course, in the lower classifications. You can miss more with holes than people can count if you turn it loose in an academy without any fundamental auditing. They're learning to prep check before they've learned anything about auditing, and that's pretty crazy. Now, of course, your next classes, as far as classes are goes up to your routine three processes. Now, how would you get somebody from prep checking and CCHs up to a routine three process without doing any 3D crisscross? He'd have to do assessments of some kind or other. Well, that's quite a little puzzle. It's quite a puzzle. It may not be fully solved here. But we get to class 3A, and we get here havingness, getting rudiments in, dynamic assessment, prehab assessment, problems intensive, and I could add any kind of an assessment you could dream up. Anything that gives them experience in assessing. And none of that has any therapeutic value except maybe the havingness and getting the rudiments in. But of course, if you just sat down and spent a lot of hours just getting rudiments in on a case, well, the guy'd feel lots better. So it could be called processing. But getting to do a lot of assessment, you know, getting used to the idea of running down a column of things and finding out if they react or don't react. And of course, the problems intensive is lovely for that. You can do a problems intensive, find the prior confusion to what hung up, scrub the whole thing, add to the list, and do a new assessment. You can do assessment by elimination on a problems intensive list. See? You can do all kinds of things with it, but just practice an assessment before we turn loose on routine three, and then as least as current processes go right now, you'd turn him loose immediately into a Gold's assessment when he got to a class 3B, and you wouldn't monkey with anything else. That's because cases can be a bit loused up by doing the wrong 3D crisscross, and whereas I can straighten out anything you've ever had happen to you here, this is also going to be done in Port Darwin. There's nothing in Port Darwin. You get the idea. Because this is set up, of course, for the world, not just here. All right. So that would be your progress in auditing. Now let's back up a step here and let's take this theory section. Now to class 1A, you've got the Auditor's Code, E-meter, Essentials, Basic Scales, and Dynamics. That's your theory section. Well, it just gives some background music to the fundamentals of Dynamics and Scientology, doesn't it? That's all. Fellow can't proceed very far without knowing these things exist. Now you got your practical section. We hit that heavy. We teach the fellow how to do some CCHs, you know, just drill. His 0, 1, 2, 3. We teach him about model session. We teach him complete E-meter check items. We're hitting him with an E-meter. He's not even going to use one in his auditing section, don't you think? Because at this stage of the game, we couldn't hope that he could use anything. He'd just goof with it. He's not going to do CCHs at that particular level. But we look over here and we find the CCHs include op probe by dupe and two-way comm in the CCHs and that sort of thing. And we're not going to try to teach him that as he's auditing in that section at all, because we're not going to do op probe by dupe and SCSs with any two-way comm. We're just going to do it on the heroic level. See, there's several auditing styles, amongst which there is the heroic. And he's going to have enough to worry about trying to do his model session and ARC straight wire up in his next class. And then finally, he's going to have too much to worry about prep check and learn anything about CCHs at a higher class. The basics of CCHs, we teach him how to do the CCHs early. And then we've assuaged his curiosity, and then he can do it the hard way later. All right. And that's... So class 1A consists of this theory section with some of these fundamentals, practical section, whole bunch of stuff. I give him a comm course, give him various things that we ordinarily give him, you know. And
teach them something about model session. We work them over at this level, and then give them out pro by Duke and SCS. I think a student at that level, by the time he had reached the top of class 1A, would feel that he had achieved something. He might be battered. I think he would be unbowed, but I think he would be in pretty good idea that something was happening and that he knew something for the time. And then we move him up into 1B and we get the theory section. Of course, we get the old COM formula. Well, that's taught alongside of ARC straight wire. And if you'll notice here and after, your theory section is combining at class 1B and class 2A. Your theory section and your auditing section are hand in glove. They're happening both at the same time. You say, well, the optimum way to handle this, of course, is to teach your theory in one class, you see, and your practical in one class, and then later on audit the things in the next class up. Yeah, well, that's all right, but we're auditing students. And they're not going to get a subjective reality on the doingness of this thing unless you audit at the same time they're studying it on these upper classes. They're going to say, gee, what do you know, and their interest is going to be on it. And if you kept repeating this thing of class 1A of teaching early and auditing at an upper class, if you didn't stay in parallel with 1B and 2A, your students would get confused because the interest of a new student when he first starts running into ARC straight wire, this stuff kind of fabulous, particularly if you're running on a plus-minus version, which you probably would be. This is very fabulous. He get very interested in the communication formula. He get very interested in other things that goes along with that level, don't you think? He probably would reach back and study some more scales. He heard of those in the class below. Well, what do these scales have to do with it? And he'd see some of these things in action. He'd think this is pretty good. And you get your class 1B would be your communication formula and E-meter tapes and tapes on the theory and attitudes of an auditor and code of Scientology, basic materials on ARC and ARC straight wire and basic materials on happiness. Your practical section is just drills on model session of the May 3rd HCO policy letter. And your class 2A, of course, is your HCO Bs and tapes on prep checking and tapes on CCHs and axioms. That's sort of a knife in the back that you suddenly shove him there. He'll be treating theory lightly right up to that point, you see, and then you show him it has teeth in it. And then you give him handling the PC, the practical section, and pertinent items of the practical processes, and then your auditing section, which I've already given you. Class 3A, why you give them the various tapes and bulletins on assessments and so forth. Well, there's one point I must mention here, is the theory checklist, the check sheet, must go to the most fundamental check item first. Because he's going to be auditing on this stuff. And as he's auditing, he can then get the flowery ends of it. You get the idea. In other words, right at the first of his theory checklist, and right at the first of the practical, you give him the most fundamental that he is going to use in the auditing of that section or that class. See? You give it to him hard and right away. And then while he's doing the auditing, give him the fancier versions, the more expanded versions, the supplementary material, the lectures on the subject, you know, all of that kind of thing follows in while he's actually doing it. And he finally finds out there's quite a bit to know about this. He at first looks terribly simple to him, then it looks terribly complicated and he can't do it. And then he's got supplementary lectures and it finally brings it back into focus. That's the theory by which this operates. Now this course will be operating on the basis of a checklist per class, which carries all three sections. In other words, all three sections for one class. We get one sheet of paper, and it's got a class. And when that thing is finished, you got that class. And you get another sheet of paper, and you get a class with that. That's the way these things should be issued in the academy, too. And it's got all the materials on it ready to be checked out and so forth. Oddly enough, with maybe only tiny variations, As far as we're concerned here at the special briefing course, your checklists are the same as they are. We haven't changed the checklist. Your checklists aren't going to be changed any. But they'd be juggled as to where they belong in the classes, don't you think? What you passed, you passed. What you have to pass, you still have to pass. But just we'll parallel it with the classes, not change the subject matter. So don't be getting the idea that you will now have to pass all of them all over again or something like this, because that's not true. But you'll have to pass them for various classes. Now, the auditing, this I should mention, the auditing section has done well and received well certain processes, so it's got to check off too. In other words, he's received op-probe idup and he's given op-probe idup. He's given SCS and he's received SCS. Talking about just a worldwide check sheet. He's given ARC straight wire, he's received ARC straight wire. He's given the a havingness and had found the havingness process and audited some, and he's received some, don't you see? That's just all part of the check sheet. And then we get down, and we're not interested in that for you guys. See, we're not interested in those two auditing sections for you because you're quite advanced as auditors. Although I might sign some of it if I see, don't see better duplication. Anyway, what you're mainly interested in is this prep checking. You actually get off the launching pad with prep checking. That's your first hard auditing assignment. And that is occupied with the form type of prep checking, particularly the last two pages of the Joburg and Form 6A, done in prep check, sec check form, as released recently. You'll be getting off the launching pad with that, as having given it and having received it, don't you see? But actually, your PC will have to be checked out for unflapped questions before you have passed it. In other words, we're getting your final examination down into your practical auditing so it doesn't take you so long to get it passed, okay? And similarly, your auditing, given and received and so forth, is checked out for your 3A and your 3B. I think you'll find this very easy to do on this particular class. It's very simple to carry through because you're doing exactly this, except you've got some new TRs. And you've got your practical section, which is going to be harder and tougher than it has been in the past. But you're getting by very easy on the thing. At HCA, HPA level, of course, those two first grades will be very tough, and they will look very tough, and they look like a very high hill to climb for people. And you, frankly, are not even climbing either of those hills, the hill of beans, because it's minimal as far as we're concerned. But we're very interested from class 2A up. We're terribly interested and terribly detailed as we go on up. Now, that doesn't say we're not interested in the whole of the practical section, because I expect all of you to get a total checkout on all of the TRs of the practical section, because I can't miss this opportunity of swinging you into line to a vitally important activity, which is the delivery of highly standardized auditing. And you deliver that, you'll find out more about the human mind than you ever thought existed, because your own errors introduced into the session aren't giving you false data about the mind all the time. And you all of a sudden will find you're looking at a very relatively easily understood set of mental mechanics. Water is never muddied up by something else going on. More basically, your PCs will be very happy. We're very interested in this, and I want every student who is here to get a good cracking on this practical. I'd be very interested in doing that. And students who are well along had just better start sweating on it. Just get into the practical section and get checked off as fast as you can. Shouldn't take you too long to do that. Things will look much happier when you get there. Right now, the only thing that is wrong with your auditing at all is here and there you wobble, and every time you wobble you get a session tied up somehow or another. And you one zig and the PC hands you a zag, and after that you're zigzagging. But I think you're doing remarkably well, and we're at a culmination point, and we're going for broke now. I'm trying to make clears. Now, I said yesterday, I told a couple of people that I hadn't been trying to make clears. That actually is not true. I have been trying for the last year. But I've been trying to make dynamic clears and finding the road through to a highly stable, highly permanent state of clear. I'm not interested in any other state. And we could have been making other types of clears, and everybody would have been much happier with us. People would have been going out of here and in a month or two falling on their heads. But, and some of them remaining very stable and so forth. But as long as there was any question mark in it at all, I wasn't interested in approaching that hill at all. I was just interested in making auditors and pushing straight through the GPM, finding the road and the way through the GPM. I'm pretty sure we got that very well taped. We've learned a tremendous amount about auditing, and we're going for broke right now to make some clears. And who knows, maybe in the next 4 or 5 years, we might produce one. If you're not clear in a few months, I'm going to be mad at you. Thank you.